And when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius, and embarking in a ship of Adramatium, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessaloniki. I mean, I'm just going. Let me just start to take this because we're diving right in. Paul, in this text, is a prisoner. And he's a prisoner in Jerusalem, and he's about to be taken to Rome. Paul knew that he was destined to go to Rome. It was always in his heart. You see it through his epistles. He wanted to go to Rome. He knew that if he stood before Caesar in Rome, Rome, of course, being the capital of the then known world, the epicenter of everything, of commerce, of technology, of industry, of transportation, every sphere of society, everything came out of Rome. We even have a phrase today, all roads lead where? To Rome. Rome was the epicenter. And so he knew if he could stand before Caesar in Rome and he would be able to testify about the greatness of God and who the Lord Jesus Christ was and share the gospel, that the gospel from there would go into the then known world and spread out to the uttermost parts of the earth, which is actually what happened. So he wanted to go to Rome. He knew it was his purpose to go to Rome. He knew it was his destiny to go to Rome. He was going to go to Rome. He had received an offering from the churches in the surrounding areas to bring that offering back to Jerusalem, who was going through a time of famine and the church was suffering. And so he brought an offering back to them. He had been warned, don't go to Jerusalem, because if you go, they're going to kill you, which is actually what they tried to do. If you look at the chapter before, they're going to kill you. And how Paul was actually rescued from being killed by the Jewish leaders was they took him to be a prisoner. That's actually how he got rescued from being killed. And so now, after a whole lot of things happen, he's been waiting 2 years. Finally, they decide that he's going to Rome. He's going to go to Italy. That's what we read. And, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but because I travel so much, the last 30 years, I've spent 9 months of every year with my family outside of whatever country I was living in. If it was Australia, I was out. We've been doing 300 hotel nights a year around the world since we've been married for 30 years. Or, well, not 30, that was prophetic. 25. It seems like 30. Y'all are going to get me into trouble. Okay, so the fact is that when I hear Italy, because I've got offices in Greece and, you know, we've got offices down in Spain. And when I hear Italy, I'm thinking the Amalfi Coast. I'm thinking Positano. I'm thinking Ravello. I'm thinking Sorrento. I'm thinking a beautiful cappuccino. I'm thinking pasta. I'm thinking many, many things. Italy. But this is not what Paul was thinking. Because he was going to be a prisoner. I know many of us think, Italy, I'm going to do a Mediterranean cruise. Because I'm Greek, I think since we're out there going to Positano and Ravello, why don't we go to Santorini and Mykonos? And why don't we go to Patmos while we're on the way? This would be awesome. I mean, I would be thinking, Lord, would you take me to my destiny on a Greek yacht during a Mediterranean cruise? That would be awesome. So we read the text and we think he's going to Italy and we think, lucky Paul. Lord, I'm in Riverside, and he gets to go to Positano. And then the Bible says that a Macedonian from Thessaloniki, now, of course, Thessaloniki is the where we started, 821. It was right there in the airport of Thessaloniki, a tiny airport, northern Greece, where I first saw posters of missing women and children. And it was about 15 years ago I saw the posters when I first found out that human trafficking was a thing. I didn't even know that it was a thing. I didn't even know that it was the fastest growing crime worldwide, faster than the selling of armaments, faster than the selling of drugs was the selling of human beings. The only thing created in the image of God. I could not believe on my watch as the church of Jesus Christ on planet Earth that the fastest growing crime is the buying and selling of the only thing created in the image of God. And I thought, no, not on my watch. This is not going to be the legacy that the church of Jesus Christ leaves on the earth, that human beings have no value and they can just be bought and sold for sex or forced labor, and we can turn that thing around. And I am so committed to abolishing slavery everywhere forever, because that kind of thing does not need to exist on the earth today. But it was there that it was birthed. And so when I read anywhere in the scripture that, you know, Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, I think everyone wants to be Greek. Because, you know, if you've seen my Big Fat Greek Wedding, that is my Big Fat Greek life. And so you all want to be Greek, give me a word, give me any word, and I will tell you that kimono. Anyway, y'all are heathens. You watch a lot of TV. That's what that just says right there. Okay. So the next day we put out at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. And putting out to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. So they're taking off. And right from the outset, Dr. Luke is writing this. And of course, as we will go through this chapter and the next chapter, and we're about to read more Bible today than most of you have read all year. Seriously, you're going to be like, I did not know there were that many chapters in the Bible. And so what is going to happen is we're going to discover that Luke was with Paul. And so he's writing this, and he was there, and he's saying, I want you to know right from the outset, the winds were against us. So here is Paul in the will of God, in the purpose of God, going where God had commissioned for him to go, to do what God had called him to do. He wasn't in any massive sin. He hadn't done anything wrong. It's not that he had 10 other things wrong. It was just, the fact was that as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a proclaimer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing something good, taking an offering to the church that was suffering in Jerusalem. He ends up being a prisoner. Now he's on his way to Rome, and then he's on this ship and the winds are against him. Sounds a bit like March 2020, doesn't it? It's like, Lord, I'm not sure I asked for this. I was thinking like Santorini, Patmos, Positano. Wasn't thinking the winds are going to be against me. It seemed a little bit inconvenient in March. We weren't really sure what was happening. I remember I was in Australia, got on a plane, got off in America, thought I'd landed in another planet. I'm like, what happened? What happened? This was the year of 2020 vision, remember? We all had our dreams. We all had our goals. And most of our goals did not involve our children being homeschooled. That was not on my to-do list for 2020. We all had the things that we thought this year, and it's like, God, we're in your will, we're in your purpose. I don't even have any major sin in my life right now. What do you mean? I'm doing what you called me to do. I'm on plan. That's how we all started. And then right from the outset, Scripture says that the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy, and he put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. Luke wants us to know, hey, I want you to know when it gets to 2020 and you are reading this eternal word, this word that is penned now, it's going to be so relevant to you in 2020. That is the nature of the word of God. I want you to know that we started in the will of God, ended up in prison, got put on a ship, and the wind was against us, and then off we went, and it was difficult from the start. March, the winds were against us. April, we got through it, but with difficulty. He's going on, and as he keeps saying that, he says, and as the wind did not allow us to go further, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Samon, coasting along it with difficulty. We came to a place called Fair Haven, near which was the city of Lycia. So again, we get another difficulty. He's saying, I need you to know, not one nautical mile of this trip was easy. From the outset, the winds were against us. It was difficult. It got even more difficult. Every step of this trip is being outworked with great difficulty. He goes on and says, since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, you are going to be so glad you came to church tonight. I could see that. You're like, awesome. We had the winds against us. We had difficulty. Now we're at dangerous. Because even the east was already over. The fast was already over. So this is now after the Day of Atonement. It's giving us a bit of context as to when this is. It's the day after the Day of Atonement. So we're in the winter months. And you know, winter over there is not like here. You think you're all in the Himalayas because you're Southern Californians, and you think that we're, I don't know. Like Kathy walks in, I'm like, are you climbing Mount Everest? Like, I'm not even sure. they put this little like blanket on the front seat. Can you give me the blanket, Nick? Like they gave me this, which is beautiful, very considerate. But I'm like, what am I? An old lady? Like, I don't know. Anyway, so like I'm like, awesome. How many people want me to give you that blanket right now? Yes, exactly. I could sell that and make a lot of money right now. But here is the deal. I don't know what the deal is, but it's a good deal anyway. But here is the point. After winter, it is freezing. I've been in the Mediterranean during that season. We've had people rescued, had to facilitate, not me personally, but our team on the ground there, literally facilitate boats going in off Turkey to rescue girls that were escaping from traffickers, going through the Greek islands. It is horrific at that time of the year. I mean, people sick, boat rocking. I mean, don't think of the kind of thing I'm going to be talking about and that Dr. Luke describes in this chapter of Acts. Don't be thinking just this kind of, man, it was cold and a little bit windy. Kind of think more category 5 hurricane is about to hit. That's what the northeaster is that comes off the land into. It is so huge. It's gale force, hurricane force conditions. So when they're talking about the winds were against us and then it got difficult and then it was dangerous, we're talking like we are now in a hurricane kind of condition. It's very full on. People are throwing up overboard. Paul is in the midst of this. He's feeling every bit of the wind. He's feeling every bit of the wave. God didn't say, well, I've anointed you and I've appointed you and somehow you're not going to feel the wind or the waves or the storm. Not at all. Felt it all. Felt every bit of it. There's nowhere in scripture that says 2020 is going to happen and the Christians are not going to feel the discomfort of it because we're anointed. Doesn't say it anywhere. It says we're going to be given the grace of God to be able to get through it and we're going to get to what that means. It doesn't say that we're going to be exempt from it. I'd love to say that God plucked us up and we all hovered at 45,000 feet above it all in 2020, but we've had to go through it. God's presence is with us in the midst of it. God brings us through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. He promises his presence with us in the midst of it. Listen, I've become a Hallmark Christian in 2020. You know when we used to scroll through Instagram, roll our eyes at the like pretty little Bible verses. I will never leave you or forsake you. Nowadays, I'm on the floor. Thank you, God, that you will never leave me or forsake me. I'm so grateful to you, God, that you've promised me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. I'm like, I've never been more grateful for something in my life to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm like the Hallmark Christian. I will never be rolling my eyes at cute little Christian verses anymore. I'm like, no wonder they're in the Bible. God knew 2020 was going to happen. I don't know that there's any more precious promise in the Bible than God promising to never leave us nor forsake us. I think every single one of us this year has possibly realized that like never before. We used to think, man, if that person leaves me or forsake me, or if I lost that thing or that job or that money or that career or that title or that position or that whatever. But this year, a lot of us have spent more time alone than we ever have. And it's like, God, I'm so grateful you're here. I'm so grateful that you will never leave me nor forsake me. Paul felt every bit of this. Christians feel every bit of this. Jesus actually said to us just before he died, by the way, you know, in this world, you will, not you might. I looked it up in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. You know what the word will means? Will. It means you will. You will have tribulation. And then Jesus cracks me up. He says, but be of good cheer. I'm like, awesome, thanks. I've overcome the world. Peter says, do not be surprised when all kinds of trials come upon you. I am watching Christians in 2020 and I'm like, do you read the Bible? Because you all are acting surprised. And Peter said, don't be surprised. And he gave you 2,000 years of warning. Do not be surprised. I'm not yet at the James level. I'm trying to get to James. Count it all joy. Awesome. Still got a bit to go in my spiritual maturity. I'm getting there. But there's nowhere, Old Testament or New, that doesn't say that we're going to be going through some stuff. But that God's going to be with us in the stuff. And there ought to be something different about Christians in the midst of it. So the world looks at us and goes, what are you smoking? I shouldn't say that. It's California. I mean, it's like, I should have been in a state where that would have, like, people would have thought that was illegal. Okay, so where they're looking at us. Stay on track. Okay. So the point is that God gives us the grace to go through things, and we are still called to be salt and light every step of the way. This is the Christian church's greatest opportunity to be the light of Christ on the earth and a witness for the gospel than I believe we've ever had in my lifetime, ever, ever. I know we're not clapping because you're freaking out going, I know how I acted in 2020. So that's okay, because we could make up for it in 2021. Because the fact is that our world is freaking out. There is so much despair. There is so much pain. There is so much heartache. Oh, people are feeling the winds against us. People are feeling every inch of this is difficult. Every sphere of society has been hit. It has just been relentless in 2020. If it was just COVID, but it wasn't just COVID. We've had political instability, and we've had racial injustice, and we've had so many economic problems, and we've had physical problems, and we've had emotional problems, and we've had environmental problems, and we've had this year, you know, we've had plagues and famines, and we've had locusts. I mean, where'd the locusts come from? But they turned out it's 2020. And then we've had the fires, and we've had the floods, and we've had I'm going, we are in Exodus. We're in Exodus. I was waiting for frogs and gnats. The fact is that we were born for this. You go, Chris, that's a big thing to say. No, listen, you don't even have to be prophetic. You go, how do you know? Because you're alive. You'll get that by your ice cream tonight, because I want you to get this. How do you know, Christine, this is my time such as this? I don't feel like Esther. This is your time such as this, because you're here. Your time such as this wasn't 50 years ago, or you would have been here then. Your time such as this is not going to be 50 years from now. It's now. Thus saith the Lord, this is your timeth such as thiseth. If I make it sound like old King James, you believe it. You and I are not a product of time. We're a product of eternity. God has plucked us out of eternity. He has positioned us in time, and he's given us gifts and talents for the purpose of serving our generation. We are here. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts that God chooses the times and the seasons that he places us in. It's not like God's in heaven going, I had no idea what was going to happen in 2020. It's actually quite the contrary. I know exactly what's going to happen in 2020. And he saw you and he plucked you out of eternity. He said, I'm positioning you in time. I'm going to fill you with my spirit, give you my word. I want you to be salt and light, because a world's going to be freaking out. A world's going to be full of fear. A world's going to be full of despair. A world's going to be full of heartache. A world's going to be full of grief. A world's going to be full of loss. And they are going to need to know the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that lives on the inside of you, so you can declare and decree the greatness of our God. Y'all, we were born for this. We were born for this. It's just a perspective shift. Yeah, I'm on a ship and there's a lot of wind and there's a lot of waves and I didn't take my Dramamine, so I'm throwing up. That's the only difference. Some of us took our Dramamine, the word, before we got into 2020. Others forgot to take our Dramamine. Take your spiritual Dramamine. Stay connected to church. Get in small groups. Get the word into you. It'll keep you stable. And everyone's throwing up all around you. And they're like, what are you doing? Oh, I've got my spiritual Dramamine. I'm good. So Paul goes on. Luke writes it, but we're going on because, man, we're not even in the introduction yet. I hope you had no plans for tonight. This is awesome. We're just going to chill. He goes on and says, so much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous because even the east. The fast stop, sorry, was already over. Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of cargo and of the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there, on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon, a tempestuous wind called the Northeaster, and you can go home and Google the Northeaster, and you will see we are talking a full-on storm now, struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. That's how many of us have felt this year. It felt like, you know what, it started off windy in March, and then in April it got really difficult, and May was even more difficult, and June we were dangerous, and now, man, we just drifted. I don't even know how I got here. It's December and I've just been drifted, pulled by the wind that is 2020. It goes on, running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we managed with difficulty, there's that word again, to secure the ship's boat. And after hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along, since we were, here it is, violently storm-tossed. That would define how most people feel right now in December 2020. We feel violently storm-tossed. Lord, we haven't come up for breath this year. We've just been pulled, and if it's not one thing, it's another thing. And every time I come up for air, I'm just throwing up overboard because something else is hitting me that I did not expect. Paul knew what this felt like. Dr. Luke's saying, we were violently storm-tossed. I want you to note that we're violently storm-tossed in the will of God, in the purpose of God, in the plan of God, on the way to Rome. Was it comfortable? No. Was it dangerous? Yes. Was it difficult? Yes. Were they still in the will of God? Yes. Yes, Christian. Still in the will of God. Difficult? Yeah. Dangerous? Yeah. Feeling nauseous? Yep. Feeling violently storm-tossed? Absolutely. On the way to purpose? Yep. Doesn't look like it. I know. I know. God never wants me to look good. Goes on. And says, since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. So now, the cargo, this is a cargo ship. And they put the prisoners on board. But the fact is that now they're jettisoning the cargo. They've just had to throw their economic provision overboard. Some of us, that's what this year's felt like too. Man, there goes the 401k. Man, there goes that entrepreneurial endeavor that I really thought that was God. I had to leave my job and I lost this source of income, and it's just like we feel like we've just been jettisoning cargo overboard, going, God, do you even realize what's going on? God, do you even see what is going on? He goes through that. It says, and on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Now they didn't even have any means to get fish out of the sea. And some of us coming into 2020, we're singing Christmas carols tonight, and you're wondering, Lord, I feel like my tackle's gone overboard too. Not only did I throw like the cargo that was my future income has just gone overboard, but my present income, the only way I have to eat, I feel like that's just gone overboard and I had no control over it. I didn't ask for the storm. I didn't ask for the winds. I didn't ask for 2020. I didn't have any major sin in my life. I didn't ask for this. And the Bible says, since they'd been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me. Don't you love Paul? Because he's very, very humble. But I also want you to note, men, you should have listened to me. Said like no woman to her husband ever. But anyway, I'm just going to, men, you should have listened to me. and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Like, we just can't help ourselves, girls, can we? We just got to say, listen, and we know we're about to say good news and say something good, but we just got to squeeze it in. Look, if you just listen to me, we wouldn't have had all this problem. Okay. Yet now I urge you to take heart. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, oh gosh, I'm going to run a lap. For this very night, there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, man. For I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island. I want you to catch this conversation. Paul's saying, we've just thrown everything overboard. Everything, the end of the end. We thought, the scripture says, we were going to die. This is it. Some of us, that's how we feel, so in despair at this part of the year. And yet Paul turns up in the midst of it, feeling everything everyone's feeling. Same wind, same storm. He's not diminishing the storm. He's not minimizing the storm. He's not ignoring the storm. He's in the middle of it, the storm. He's in the middle of it. He's feeling it. He's in it. And he stands up and he says, hey, you can take heart. This is what I'm here to say to you girls tonight. You can take heart because the God whom I serve, that God, he, the angel of the Lord, stood before Paul and said to him, you must go to Rome. It's your purpose. It's your destiny. I know right now all you can feel is the wind and the waves and the storm. I know right now all you feel is nauseous and anxious and worried and wondering, what am I going to do? All the tackle's gone overboard. Everything's gone. But I want you to know that you must stand before Caesar. See, what do you do when you can't see God? You hang on to the word of God. You hang on to the promise of God. Paul had a word. Paul had a promise. You hang on to the word. You hang on to the promise. So many of us have thrown the promises of God away during this year. Because we confuse God with the cargo. We confuse God with the ship. God never promised you the ship. He promised you himself. Jesus is this hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both firm and secure. Jesus is the answer, not the ship. Jesus is the answer, not the cargo. All that is being revealed in 2020 is our idols, is the things that we trusted. We thought that was what was going to take us to our purpose. We thought that was what God was going to use to take us to our destiny. We thought it was that person. We thought it was that job. We thought it was that career. We thought it was that retirement fund. We thought it was that. And God's like, no, it was always me. I am the one that is going to take you to your purpose. I am the one that is going to take you to your destiny. God alone. Because Paul said, you're not going to die, but the ship must run aground. Just imagine being on that ship. You didn't see the angel of the Lord, Paul did. You didn't have that encounter with Jesus when you're on a horse, bang, you're out, right, off we go, little go into the Arabian desert for a little while and, you know, off we go. Paul at least has got all that to hang on to. Everyone around him doesn't have that to hang on to. But he's saying to them in the midst of the storm, look, it's okay, but the ship must run aground. In 2020, some ships needed to run aground, girls. Some friendships needed to run aground. Some relationships needed to run aground. There's some ships in our lives that needed to run aground because we started trusting the ship instead of trusting the God of the ship. And God's like, you know what? I think I'm going to come back and be the king of my church again. I think I'm going to just remind them that I'm the one on the throne. Oh, he's still all about your purpose. Totally. Paul's on his way to Rome. He was just expecting a Mediterranean cruise and he got one of sorts. That's just like us. We're all going to go to heaven, you know, but, you know, it might be like a whale vomiting us up or something and God going, you could have got here a bit easier. But anyway, no. Paul's on the way to purpose, but the ship must run aground. What faith does it take as you and I look? I don't know what 2021 is going to bring. I don't know. Economically, politically, socially, environmentally, I don't know. I guess whatever ships need to run aground, but I'll tell you who I do know, Jesus. I'll tell you what I do know, this God whom I serve and whom I worship, oh, he will be faithful. Why? Because my Bible says that all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, yes and amen. If God said it, God is going to do it. God is not a man that he should lie. Listen, I still believe in a God that can part Red Seas. I still believe in a God that can tear down Jericho walls. I believe in a God that can push back the River Jordan. I believe in a God that can make a way where there is no way. I believe in a God that can make a 90-year-old woman have a baby. I believe in a God that can turn things around no matter what. I believe in a God that can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 20,000 people. I believe in a God that can make a 12-year-old, 13, however old Mary was, let's just say 14 for the sake of the sermon, that he can supernaturally, divinely implant his seed, the seed of Jesus Christ into, I say to my daughter who's 19, I say, listen, I believe in an immaculate conception. I truly do. But I only believe there was ever one in the history of humanity. Do not try this at home. If you and your boyfriend ever come to me and say, it was an angel, it ain't going to ride. Anyway, so my point is, I still believe in a God that does that kind of miracle, a God that makes a way where there is no way. So when I look at 2021 and go, I'm not quite sure because there's some ships that must run aground. I'm not quite sure how God's going to do it. But this I do know, God has a track record from Genesis to Revelation of doing every single thing he said he would do. He rose from the dead. So therefore we can trust our God. We can trust him. Y'all, this is a faith adventure. We're a faith people. The scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. The righteous will live by faith, the book of Romans tells us. Galatians says, this life I live by faith in the Son of God. Hello! I always laugh when people go, you're a faith person. I go, hey, well, it's better than a doubt person. Like, I don't know. Do you read the Bible? You go, well, Chris Kane's a bit cray-cray. Well, yes, and... Listen, if you're a Christian, you're cray-cray. You don't even have to believe any of the other cray-cray stuff. Just to be a basic Christian, you believe. This is what the whole linchpin of our faith is. 2,000 years ago, a Palestinian Jewish man that was dead rose again. Were you there? No. Was I there? No. So you don't even need to believe any of the other cray-cray stuff because that alone is cray-cray. So the very fact that we already believe the cray-cray, why not embrace all the cray-cray and say, I believe there is a God that can make a way where there is no way. I believe in that kind of God. I could go there for ages, but let me go back to the text. Y'all are making me too excited. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is a miracle-working God. God is a miracle-working. Let's not become just people that are confined by the natural and the temporal. Y'all, we're an eternal people. We are weird. The Bible says that we are aliens. Look at the chick next to you. The Bible says that we are peculiar people. So look at the chick and go, you are peculiar. Like, seriously, it's biblical. It's a biblical term. I don't even know why we're trying to be cool. Because we're not. It's awesome. It's so liberating to not be cool. It's just liberating. I just want to be a supernatural person. Listen, people go, well, Christine, look, are you one of these people that just really believes in the Bible? Like, yes. Like, what about all of those really just horrible verses in the Old Testament? And just like, I know. But just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not true. Chris, you really do, you really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Yes. Chris, you're singing Holy Night? You really believe, like, virgin? Yes. That's weird. I know. But I don't need a God that can do what I could do. People go, well, Christine, that's impossible. That's not biologically possible. That is impossible. I go, I know. I don't need a God that can do what I could do. I need a God that can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything I could ever ask, hope, or think according to that power that works in me. Oh, that's the kind of God. I don't need a God made in my image. I need a God that is so much bigger. We just have a world that's so busy trying to make God in their own image, and then they're wondering why that God doesn't come through for them. But what's Jesus is this hope we have as an anchor for our soul as we look into 2021. Oh, people are like, why are you smiling, Chris? Jesus. But the ships have run aground. I know. I know, it's awesome. I've still got Jesus. You're building your life on the ship. So if you build your life on the ship, when the ship runs aground, you've lost everything. But I didn't build my life on the ship. I built my life on the anchor, Jesus. Jesus. He's still there. So he goes on. And we came coming to some sort of close at some point of the evening before breakfast. So he goes on and says, when the 14th night had come, as we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea about midnight and the sailors suspected that they were nearing land, so they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little further on, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for a day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under the pretense of laying out the anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. I want you to get this. Listen, in the natural, this makes no sense. It looks like the ship is about to run aground. They've lost everything. And yet Paul is saying, the only way these guys are going to make it is if they stay on the ship. Here is the challenge during storms. Here is the challenge when things are not going as we thought they should go. Here is the challenge when we're in seasons of loss and seasons of grief, which everyone's in one corporately, globally, we're in one right now. The challenge and the temptation and the enemy will make sure that he comes and whispers in your ear and tell you, jump ship, man. This is just too hard. Jump ship on that marriage. Jump ship on that thing. Jump ship on that church. Just jump ship on Jesus. Just go and jump ship. But here is the key. The key is stay on the ship. The word of the Lord for someone tonight is stay on the ship. Don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. It looks so alluring. So alluring. And the enemy will make sure it looks alluring. 3 months from now, you're going to wish you never jumped ship. You're going to wish you never jumped ship. So Paul's saying, stay on the ship. I know the ship's going to run aground. I know it just looks crazy in the natural. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. The ship is about to crash. And what does Paul do? Takes communion, breaks bread, brings peace into the situation, brings hope into the situation. I wonder what we're doing in our families, in our communities, whatever our sphere of influence is during this whole COVID and just this whole cray-cray season that the planet is in. Are we freaking out because everyone else is freaking out? Are people looking at us going, what is different about you? You're as cray-cray as everyone else. Here's the key. If you came out for nothing else tonight, here's the best advice I can give you. Just because everyone around you is going cray-cray doesn't mean you have to. Doesn't mean you have to. What can we do in the midst of it? Break bread. I've used this. This is the longest I've never traveled to another country in 30 years, literally in 30 years. And I'm not going to sit there and complain. What do? We're in our street. We would have happy hour we did once a week with, and it just grew in our street. We'd be socially distanced on the front lawn that then spread right out across different pavements. People would come from other parts of the community and make sure they were walking conveniently right at that time because everyone wanted to be around us. And these people were not believers, far, far, anything but. And people that had a lot of things. But man, when the ship's about to run aground, your things don't mean much to you. And they would come and sit and wonder, why are you guys full of peace? Why do you guys seem to kind of just be breaking bread? And are you aware of what's going on? Yeah, yeah. Actually, I'm probably more aware than most people because I've got offices in 22 cities around the world and I read reports that you don't even see about what's going on. But the issue is, my focus is on Jesus. My hope is on Jesus. Nick and I, from the outset, you will think, you'll be probably glad you don't work for us because this was my first staff meeting when all this happened. I went, this is awesome.
My staff globally is like, wow, that's not how we were thinking of it, but that's okay. I said, oh, because Nick and I, we're 54. Oh, we know Jesus. We've got our miracle stories. We're here because of Jesus. I'm the kid that was left in a hospital, unnamed and unwanted. Grew up in the poorest zip code in my state. I was sexually abused for 12 years. My birth certificate doesn't have a name on it. I said, oh, I know Jesus. Jesus took me from nowhere and nothing. I've been through a lot of storms, a lot of wind, a lot of danger, a lot of difficulty, and Jesus has been there. So I got my faith stories. But I employ hundreds of you, all millennials, and you don't realize how much you're riding in the slipstream of our faith. And so the problem with Joshua is when Joshua and his generation died, the saddest scripture for me in the Bible is Judges chapter 2, verse 10, that says, when Joshua and his generation died, another generation arose that did not know the Lord, nor the works that he had done for Israel. Joshua, Caleb had come out of Egypt, seen the Red Sea part, seen manna from heaven for 40 years, seen a generation die, another generation rise up, saw the River Jordan push back, saw the walls of Jericho came down. They possessed all of Canaan. How on earth could another generation rise that does not know God? Please someone explain that to me. And we're right there in America. Right there in America. And I said to them, oh no, you'll need your own faith story. You need to get on your face and you learn, you're going to dig deep now. You're going to find Jesus for yourself. Because I can't come and hold you up in South Africa. I can't come and hold you up in the Ukraine. You can't just ride in the slipstream of my faith. You now need to know this God for yourself. And I said, and that is really good because I intend to live for a long time, but I'm still, all things being equal, going to get to glory before you are. And when I die, I don't want my legacy to be that another generation arose after me that did not know the Lord. Doesn't matter how much I do on this earth. I've not done my job if another generation arises that does not know the Lord. Neither do you as a mother, as an aunt, as a sister. You don't have to be running a global organization. You're just a Christian. After Joshua and his generation died. And I think the Lord's reminding us all in America, have a look at the generation hemorrhaging from the church. And God's like, would you all get serious about your faith? Because there's another generation at stake. And they're going to be watching you during this time. And I'll tell you one thing that my girls will be able to say. There's nothing perfect about us at all, but I will tell you this thing. My girls will be able to say, and they'll say, God willing, if they get married and have children, they'll say to their kids, oh, my parents didn't flinch in 2020. Our family was so calm. We didn't even realize really what was going on. Because we trusted Jesus. Oh, I'm so grateful that that's going to be their testimony to their kids. I might have got a lot of other things wrong, but I'm so glad that they know that we trusted God in the midst of adversity, that our anchor was secure in Christ in the midst of all of this. So we go on. And then scripture says, then they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were all in all 276 persons on the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat to the sea. The band can come up and somehow we'll land this plane before the second coming. So now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. Finally, there it is. The bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land. And so the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that they were all brought safely through. I just want you to see how Luke ends this whole chapter. I mean, we've had wind, we've had storms, we've had waves. We've had the loss of cargo. We've had the loss of everything. It sounds so 2020, but I love this. He goes, and the rest on planks. So some swam, some jumped. Some went on planks and some went on pieces of the ship. Can you imagine how they ended up? I mean, some are coming in on planks. This is how we're all going into the end of 2020. I just want you to get a visual. Some are like, I'm just jumping. Some are hanging onto a plank for dear life. Others are holding on to other pieces. It's not pretty. There's nothing pretty about it. Luke's not sugarcoating it. He's like, this ain't a Mediterranean yacht. We're hanging on to this plank. That's how a lot of us are. And then Dr. Luke writes, and the Lord brought us safely through. I'm like, that's how you're going to end that whole chapter? I'm wondering if he's giving us a word about how we should frame and put the banner over 2020 instead of the banner over 2020 being COVID, loss. If it becomes the Lord brought us safely through. The Lord brought us safely through. I might be hanging onto a plank. I might have lost all the cargo. The ship ran aground. Oh, it looks nothing like I thought it was going to look in January 2020. And I'm hanging on to a piece of plank for dear life. But my testimony is the Lord brought me safely through. That's my testimony. God brought me safely through. And then he starts the next chapter. Just in case you, he's telling you how to start 2021 right here. He says, after we were brought safely through, just in case you didn't get it, because we're going to end the year saying, this is the banner. I've already told our kids, the Lord brought us safely through. I'm preaching a passion at the end of the year. I preached a passion at the beginning of the year. I did a whole message about digging wells on 1st of January, 2020, 65,000 people. I'm talking about digging wells. I was right. I just didn't realize how right. I'll be there again this year, opening 2021. And my declaration at the end of 2020, the Lord brought us safely through. 1st of January, 2021. Hey guys, since the Lord brought us safely through last year, he's got something for us right here. Something for us that's new, but listen, because this is where a lot of us are finding ourselves. And after we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. It's hilarious because it's like, he didn't even know where he was. That's what most of you are like right now. I don't even know where I am. This is not where I expected to be. In fact, where I am in December 2020, I did not know it existed. That's how some of us feel. Where you are, and I'm not in any way diminishing some legitimate pain and suffering and loss and grief. You didn't know this place existed. You didn't know. Some, it's just been inconvenient and really lonely, and there's a sense of despair. Is anything ever going to change? Man, it just seems to be getting worse wherever you look. The best thing you can do for your soul is stay off the news and off social media. And so the fact is that he says it was called Malta, this little island. 11 miles long, 9 miles wide. Nick and I have been. Tiny island, beautiful. But Paul was not planning to be there. He goes, I just learned that this place is called Malta. And he could have thought, man, God, you've ripped me off. I was supposed to go to Rome, the epicenter of the Roman Empire, to talk to Caesar. I'm like, kind of a big deal, God, didn't you know? I was going to do this, but now I'm on this little place called Malta that I didn't even know what it was called, in the back of nowhere. And Paul could have been so despondent, but that's not what he did. See, a lot of us, we got our nose out of joint this year because we thought by December we'd be in Rome, and we've landed in Malta. And this is so crucial for you, because what you do on Malta will determine whether you even get to Rome. So for a lot of us, we're going to miss what God has for us in Malta, because we are lamenting the fact that we're not in Rome, and we're lamenting all the things we've lost on the way to Rome, that we just cannot get past the offense or the bitterness or the hurt or the disappointment or the discouragement or the disillusionment. And we're sitting on the shore of Malta going, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, think I'll go eat worms, I'm sitting here, God, I'm out. Now, we would never say it because we're too spiritual, but it's in our heart. So the Bible tells us that this is what Paul started to do. The Bible says that
The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it began to rain and it was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, Paul started serving. Paul, the apostle Paul, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. On his way to Rome to see Caesar, he begins to pick up sticks and build a fire. You've got to build a big fire for 276 people. Listen, some of us have been so locked and stuck in a funk. And the best thing we can do to get ourselves off our mind is start to do something for somebody else. Begin to serve. Serve your way out of where you are right now. Begin to do something for somebody else. Paul starts to serve, and I love this. And it goes on and it says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now look at this. So this is the best we could do, okay? So a viper, it came out. So Paul, and you know, commentators say that this viper would have been stuck in the wood when it was wet, and then because it got hot, the viper came out. Let me just say, in this season, there's those of us that are digging deep and getting hot for Jesus. I promise you, when you start getting serious about your faith, the vipers are going to start coming out. The viper isn't going to bite anyone that's not a threat. Because what's going to happen is, if the shipwreck couldn't take you out, if the storm couldn't take you out, the devil will send a snake to try to get the venom on the end. That was really good timing. The venom will send a snake to try to get the venom into you, to try to take you out from the inside out. See, we've had a big year, guys. We've had things coming at us, storms and shipwrecks. And just when you think, man, the storm, I could just breathe. The shipwreck, I could just breathe. You go, God, are you serious? A snake bite. And for some of us, this is what it's been like. You go, you are got to be joking, God, a snake. Because the enemy thinks, I didn't get you. I thought I would take you out with the storm. I thought I would take you out with the shipwreck. Since I didn't, I'm going to try to take you out with the venom. I'm going to try to get bitterness in your heart, offense in your heart, discouragement in your heart, despair in your heart, gossip, slander. I'm going to try to get that into you so the toxic poison will kill you from the inside out. And then the crowd, this is what the crowd does. It's so hilarious. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. Because that's what everyone thinks. Bad things happen to you. You must be a sinner. People have always got their opinion about why something's happening. It goes on and says, no doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and they saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. So I just want you to know, people say, Chris, why don't you listen to the crowd? I'm going, honey, the same crowd that said I was a murderer this week says I'm a god next week. You cannot try to live for the approval of the crowd. If you live for that, you will die by that. You need to live for the approval of God. One of the worst things that has happened to us is the mob mentality on social media. We go and we follow the crowd. We spend all our life scrolling through everyone else's life, and we don't live the life that God called us to live. And the Bible says about Paul that, and I need you to hear this, it says that Paul shook this thing off into the fire. He didn't shake it off onto social media. He didn't shake it off in the gossip circles. What we've got to do is stop shaking off our offenses and our bitterness and our anger out there for a public world to see it. The Bible says that he shook it off into the fire. So what am I here to tell you, girls? I'm here to say that as we finish 2020 and go into 2021, you need to know that before Taylor Swift, there was the Apostle Paul. It's time to shake it off. You got to shake it off. We got to shake off the bitterness. Shake off the anger. Shake off the offense. Shake off the hurt. We got to shake it off. Why? The Bible says, if you go on and read it, that
Publius, who was the most influential man on the island of Malta. His father got sick and God used Paul to heal his father. And then everybody, the Bible says, everybody that was sick on the island came to him. And there was a revival. There was a revival. Do you know you go to Malta today? Even yesterday in our Orange County campus, two girls from that campus came up to me from Malta. Their family were part of the legacy of that revival. They got saved in Malta. They came down through 2,000 years later. Here we are. And people in your own church from there because of this story in Acts 20:28 at this point. And so the fact is that Paul couldn't miss the revival in Malta. God's plan was bigger than Paul's, because then the Bible says that they got on a ship. The Maltese people gave them a ship. And the Bible says that they put everything on board that they needed. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to freak out. God's going to get you a ship and put everything on board that you need, and you will get to your purpose, and you will get to your destiny, and you will fulfill your assignment, because He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. No matter who's in power, no matter what the stock market ultimately says, He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Harvest, girls, let's not miss the miracle in Malta because we despise the fact that we're not yet in Rome. Let's ask God to show us in our homes, in our sphere of influence, whatever your sphere is. God, what is it that you have for me here? What is the miracle waiting in Malta here? I'm going to stop talking about the storm. I'm going to stop talking about the shipwreck. I'm going to stop talking about the snake bite, and I'm going to start focusing on the miracle that's waiting to happen in my world, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Friend, I wonder if you know this faithful Jesus that I've been talking about tonight. Not do you know about Him, but do you know Him? And if you don't, right here, right now, right in this tent, I want to give you the opportunity to address the spiritual condition of your heart, the opportunity to put Jesus Christ first in your life. Friend, you were created by God for a relationship with God, and it's Jesus that connects us to God, and it's Jesus that connects us to the grace of God. He's so real. I could tell you, after living through this year like every one of you, the one thing that I do know, there's not much that I do know anymore, but this one thing I do know, Jesus is real and Jesus is alive. You know, I told you that I'm the kid that there is no way I should be doing what I'm doing. I was left in a hospital without a name. If you see my birth certificate, it literally says child's name. It's typed in the word unnamed, number 2508 of 1966. People say to me, how do you do what you do with human trafficking? I'm like, I'm only one degree of separation between me and the kids that I rescue. An unnamed 2508. If I wasn't born in Australia where there was a rule of law, but I was born in Romania or Cambodia or all the other countries we rescue kids from, I could have been that kid left and then taken by traffickers and then sold into trafficking. Just one degree of separation. But Jesus Christ took this unnamed, unwanted, abused, adopted chick from the back of Sydney, Australia, wiped away the mess of my past, gave me a brand new start and a hope for the future. And I want you to know tonight, ladies, that the same Jesus that did it for me is the same Jesus that's here, right now, that can do it for you. Listen, I am living proof that in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can start bad and you can finish good. That Jesus Christ has a plan and a pure future and a destiny for your life. I don't know what your story is. I don't know where you've been, but God knows. God cares. There's only really three types of women in the room. There are those of you that, you know, probably four types, but there are those that you know, you are absolutely certain that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But there's a couple of other groups in the room. There are those that, well, there are those of you that a friend invited you tonight. And you know, you weren't even sure what you were coming to. They lied. They said, let's go to a nightclub. And you're like, what is this? You were just thinking, like, what is this? This is like a Monty Python show. What is going on? But I want you to know that you're here in the divine timing and the divine plan and the divine purpose of God. God orchestrated everything to get you here into this place because He loves you so much. And He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Some of you, you once walked with God, but if you're honest, whether it was this year or it's been actually over a course of a lot of years, you've been away from God, cold in your heart, maybe even backslid. And tonight, friend, I want to invite you to stop running from Him, to come home to Him, to make your peace with Him, to put Jesus Christ first in your life. You might be thinking, but Chris, I can't do that. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've said. And you're right. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you've said. But I don't need to know that because I know what He did 2,000 years ago. And my Bible says that if you and I confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you that you've gone too far the other way, that there is no way that God can forgive you, that there's no way that God can love you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you. Perhaps all you've ever known is religion. Man, you could do the deal. You've gone through Bible study, you go to church, you kind of go through the motions. But tonight, something in you is quickened and you're like, whatever Jesus it is that she's talking about, that, I want that. Tonight, you could step over the line from religion to an authentic relationship with the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't settle for a religious existence when you can have a dynamic, authentic relationship with the King of the universe. Now, girls, let's pray this. Dear Jesus, I raise my hand because I recognize my need for You. I'm sorry that I've been living my life my own way and ignoring You. I'm sorry that I've sinned against You. I ask tonight that You would forgive me for all of my sins, that You would give me a fresh start tonight and a hope for the future. I want to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ every single day for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.